Thank you, Sam. One of the greatest characters in all of the Bible has to be Moses of old. Moses was the man who actually gave us, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, those first five books of the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He was the man that God called upon, if you will, to go before King Pharaoh and plead for the freedom of God's people. It is a story of courage and valor. But it is also a story of tragic proportions. And let me tell you why. You remember when Moses led the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage, and they wandered in the wilderness for about 40 years. The Bible tells us that God did not allow Moses to enter in to the promised land simply because he smote the rock to bring water forth for the children of God instead of speaking before that rock as God had commanded. And in the book of Deuteronomy 34, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Mount Pisgah, that is over against Jericho, and the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead and Dan, and all Naphtali and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost part of the sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, and the city of palm trees, and Zoar, unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, and unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, That I will give it unto thy seed, and I have caused thee to see it with thine own eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley of the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and over against Bethpor, and no man knoweth of his sepulcher even unto this day." This morning, when we think about Moses standing at the top of Mount Pisgah in Moab, no doubt there were a lot of things that went through his mind. And I want to share with you what I really believe that Moses saw from Mount Pisgah. The things that he might have seen. Oh, maybe not in a literal way, but in his mind's eye. Things that he could see and envision. Moses had led the children of God, had been a faithful servant of the Lord. And God had told him that he would bring forth water from the rock at Horeb, but he actually didn't, perhaps, either didn't believe it or he just deliberately disobeyed God. And he hit that rock with the very rod that he used to stretch forth across the Red Sea and to part the waters that the children of God might go forth. It was that same rod, if you will, that he would throw down in Pharaoh's court, and it would become a serpent and devour the serpents in Pharaoh's court. It was this mighty rod that God had used in a wonderful and spiritual way. And the Bible says that Moses was unable to go into the promised land because he spoke unadvisedly with his lips. Instead of obeying God and speaking before that rock, claiming attention for himself, he hit that rock with that rod. But what did he see? He saw, first of all, that the end does not justify the means. You know, we have a lot of people in today's world that think that certain violations of God's law is all right if you're doing it for a good reason. We talked this morning in our class about stealing. It's all right to steal if you do it for a good reason. It's all right to lie and deceive and to misrepresent truth if there is a good reason for you doing so. But that is not true. You know, the logic that people use is often beyond me. I read the other day where a man said, when we drink, we get drunk. When we get drunk, we fall asleep. When we fall asleep, we commit no sin. And when we commit no sin, we go to heaven. So let's all get drunk and go to heaven. Now that's about the logic that a lot of people use in life. It's all right to do evil things or wrong things, or if you just deceive a little bit, or you go beyond what the Word of God actually teaches, just a little bit, it's all right. Let me ask you again, how much evil or error does it take to pollute truth? How much? Wouldn't take but a little for me. And Moses saw as he looked out on that great promised land, the land that would flow with milk and honey, the land that God had promised unto him if he would be faithful unto him. And he envisioned, perhaps, maybe even for the first time, that the end does not justify the means. In the book of Exodus, chapter 17 and verse 6, I will stand before you on a rock in Horeb, he said. Hit that rock with a walking stick and water will come forth out of it. Then the people can drink. Moses did these things and the elders of Israel saw it. They violated God's law. In the book of Numbers, chapter 20, verse 11 and 12, the Bible says Moses lifted up his arms and he hit the rock twice. Water began to flow from the rock, and the people and their animals drank the water. But the Lord said unto Moses and to Aaron, you did not trust me enough to honor me and to show the people that I am holy. You did not show the Israelites that the power to make the water came from me. So you will not lead the people into the land that I have given unto them. You know, sometimes in our life we see certain things happen and we throw it up to chance. There are a lot of things that happen in this world and we say, well, wasn't that good luck? And we fail to give God the glory for all that God has done. Even perhaps a meteorologist today will say, well, look at me, wasn't I right? I told you it was going to rain. I'm going to tell you the reason those drops fell from heaven this morning was because of a mighty God who made that water and made the earth and made you to dwell therein. Amen. Now you may say in your mind, I can't believe that God would not allow Moses to go into the promised land. I mean, after all, that was just a little sin. I mean, hitting that rock instead of speaking before that rock as God had commanded. But it was the fact that Moses chose not to give God the glory. And you know what? In life, sometimes people achieve great and mighty things. And I'm going to tell you something. That's a wonderful thing. But whatever you have ever in your life been able to do or to accomplish, you better give your God the glory. In the book of Romans 3 and verse 8, some say, let us do evil that good may come. There are a lot of people that believe that it's all right to do anything as long as the end result will prove to be good to certain people. Not so. And I can just only imagine when Moses is standing there and God is allowing him to see that land of promise that is going through his mind. What I did was wrong and the end does not justify the means. I was hitting the rock. I just didn't know whether God would really bring water forth if I were to speak from it. And if I were to speak from it and the water didn't come forth, then I would have looked like a fool. And he's trying to justify his own sin. Do you know that most people in the world today will work aggressively to justify their sin and their wrong instead of admitting it? You know what? You should always do the right thing. Do the right thing. Not what you think is right in your mind. It may seem illogical. If God told you to do something, like Brother Marshall Keeble, an old black preacher in the Brotherhood, who said one time, if God called me to jump through that brick wall, he said, I'd jump, and he said, I'd let God make the hole. If God tells you to do anything, you better do it. You remember when Jesus turned water into wine in that first miracle in Cana of Galilee in the book of John chapter 2? One of the greatest statements that ever fell from the lips of the mother of our Lord Jesus, Mary. She said, whatever he tells you to do, you do it. God meant business. Do the right thing. Because what we think is not always right. Solomon said in Proverbs 14, verse 12, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. God says, my ways are higher than your ways. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. Some people say it's all right to do wrong if you're doing it for a good reason. But that, my friend, is wrong. Dead wrong. What did Moses see from Pisgah? Well, he saw a number of things. He saw that the end did not justify the means. But secondly, he realized that your sin will always find you out. And he even wrote about it in the book of Numbers, did he not? In Numbers chapter 32, listen to what he said. He says that your sin will find you out. And it will. You can hide your sin for a little while, but it will eventually surface. Remember Abraham Lincoln saying that you can fool part of the people part of the time, but not all the people all the time? You won't fool God any time. He is all-knowing. He learned that you reap what you sow in life. And even your family will reap what you sow. That's why it's so important for a man to live a godly life before his family. Because the consequences of your sin will pay in this life or in the life to come. Achan took of thee a cursed thing at Ai. You remember the story in the book of Joshua chapter 7 and how he hid it in his tents, in his tent. And the Bible says that Israel was defeated that day because of Achan, this one man's sin. He took of the Babylonian garments, the shekels of gold, and he hid them in his tent. And God allowed his own people to be defeated because of that one man's sin. I want to tell you something this morning. All that we do will be exposed in judgment. For Ecclesiastes 12 and 14 says, for every secret thing shall be brought into judgment before God. And you know what? Many people, thirdly, waste the patience of God. The Bible says, just as it waited in the days of Noah, and it did. By the way, I said the other day, if you go and see Noah, if there's any resemblance to the movie Noah and the biblical account of Noah, I was right. It is absolutely, I believe it's the worst movie I ever saw. Started to get up and walk out. There is nothing true to the movie with Russell Crowe. If you want to waste your money, go see it. Produced by an atheist anyway. I didn't realize that till later. It's the biggest bunch of nonsense you will ever see on the silver screen. If you really want to find out the biblical account, go here. God's patience is waiting for man. Time and time again, the long-suffering of God. But too many people abuse it today. Do you know that Moses could have been a victor? Could have. Could have been a victor. But he became the victim of his own undoing, his own sin. Moses saw the truth of Proverbs 14, verse 12. That there is a way that appears right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. It is true. But there's something else that he learned. He learned that sin, though committed, even with the best of intentions, is still sin. It's true. Even with the best of intentions that you have in your mind, if God calls it a sin, it's a sin. You don't slice it any other way. You don't try to justify it. You don't try to camouflage it. It is what it is, as we always say. Uzzah, in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 6 and 7, tried to protect the ark of God by staying it with his hand. He didn't need to be touching it anyway, and God struck him dead. Sometimes people assume that God put them where they are and they ought to be doing what they're doing. I'm telling you, folks, get back to the Word of God. Even their sacrifices under God sometimes are an abomination unto the Lord. And those who claim to do many wonderful works in the name of the Lord Jesus, Jesus said, I will say unto you, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Matthew chapter 7, for I never knew you. Even when you claim to have cast out demons in my name and done all these great and mighty works. Sin, though committed with the best of intentions, is still sin. There were those in the book of Romans 10, verse 1 through 3, who sought to establish their own righteousness. Paul says, I bear them record that they have a zeal, but not according to knowledge. You know what? You know what's wrong in most places of the church today? A lot of people have a lot of zeal and enthusiasm, but they've abandoned truth. They no longer preach the Word of God. They preach to please people. They were like those in Isaiah's day who said, preach unto us smooth things. Paul said in Galatians 4:16, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You still preach it long and hard. And the Noah of the Bible preached it long and hard. There was no showmanship with Noah. The book of Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1 and following, the Bible says, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast in every transgression of disobedience, he says, receive the just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and then was confirmed by those who heard him. I'm quite sure that when we stand before God in judgment, there will be those who will try to plead their case. God, I committed that sin for a good reason. Some people don't like the concept of having to pay the penalty of sin for some reason or another. We try to eradicate it from our mind. I heard about a minister one time who parked his car in a no parking zone. Have you ever done that? Sure you have. But he parked in this no parking zone in a large city because he was short of time and he couldn't find a space. So he put a note under the windshield wiper, and it read like this: I have circled this block 10 times. If I don't park here, I'll miss my appointment. And then he put in big bold letters, "Forgive us our trespasses." When he returned to his car, he found a ticket, a citation from a police officer along with this note. It read, "I've circled this block for 10 years. If I don't give you a ticket, I'll lose my job. Lead us not into temptation." Moses saw a lot of things. The end does not justify the means. Sin, though committed, is still sin. But he learned something else as he looked out across that vast valley and that promised land that flowed with milk and honey that he would never have the privilege of entering. He saw that the wages of sin are certain. Paul would later offer these words in Romans 6 and verse 23, that the wages of sin or payment for sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Later, Ananias and Sapphira would find it to be true because they realized that their lying would bring death. They lied unto the Holy Spirit and unto God about a contribution of all things that they had made into the kingdom of God. They didn't have to lie. As a matter of fact, they didn't even have to give any of the money that they sold that property for into the treasury of God. God said, while it was in your power, was not it your own? But they tried to deceive and to lie. In Revelation 22 and verse 8, the Bible talks about the fact that sin will bring forth death, or 21 rather. Pride brings forth destruction. It does. It happens. Pharaoh met with his destruction. Pride goeth before a fall, according to the book of Proverbs 16. And he realized that judgment is coming. Revelation chapter 20. For in the book of 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, the Bible says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to that which he hath done, whether good or bad." You know, other people may influence us to sin, but we're held accountable for our own sin. Man tried to do that in the very beginning of time, when Adam blamed his wife for his sin. But that brings us to the last thing, I think, that Moses saw when he looked into the promised land. He realized that we are accountable for our own actions. Do you ever notice people how they want to blame someone else for what they've done in life? We go through blaming everybody for their actions. We start pointing the finger at someone else, and other people are pointing, "Oh, it wasn't me, it was you. You were the ones." You know, we see little kids do that and we think, isn't that cute? But you know what? When you look at adults, and you see adults who are unwilling to accept their responsibility for their actions, folks, I'm telling you, you cannot blame anyone else but self when you sin and when you do wrong. I'm telling you this morning that life is not a gamble. It is not. But there are some who go through life gambling with their sin and hoping the bouncing ball does not land on them. You will pay for your sins if you do not repent. Don't you dare go out of here and say our preacher brought a roulette wheel to church. You know, people make excuses for a lot of things. I've learned in life that the driven make it happen. And everyone else makes excuses. I've also learned that if you don't want to do something, one excuse is as good as another. People that don't want to do the will of God, you don't have to make excuses to me. I hope that God excuses you. And if he doesn't, there's a reason he doesn't. Sometimes people point the finger, like I said, at someone else. It's his fault. It's her fault. No, it's everybody else's fault. It's not my fault. Stand accountable for your own actions. You can play a game with people, but you cannot play a game with God. I read a quote not long ago, and I thought this was a tremendous statement, and I really believe it to be true, that excuses are the tools of incompetence used to build monuments of nothingness. It's true. Nothingness. Someone said, watch your thoughts, or they become your words. Watch your words, or they become your actions. Watch your actions, or they become your character. Watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. Both were wrong, Genesis 3. Didn't want to step up to the plate and accept the fact that they were the ones who perpetrated their evil and sinned. You may be led by others into sin. That's why you always admonish young children, don't get involved with the wrong people. Make your friends with people who are going to help you get to heaven. Not friends that are going to help you get into trouble, but friends that will help you get into heaven. Because you have no one to blame but self when you do. You should make yourself accountable for everything. Not some things. Everything you do. Everything. I've often thought about Moses. What a sad story. And as I said in the very beginning this morning, it was a story of courage and valor. A man who led God's people. God chose him. Here was a man who gave us the law of God. And for one who gave us the law of God, who set the people of Israel free by the hand of God, now himself is unprivileged to go into that land of promise. In reality, it was a life of regret. It was. You know, like Moses, some of us need to set ourselves free from our own imprisonedness. We imprison ourselves. We do. By what we do. And Christ came to set us free. As a matter of fact, he hand-delivered his own love for us. For you. And me. And the whole world. For John 3:16 says that God, for he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have life everlasting. And then in Romans 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth his love for us, and while we were yet imprisoned in our sin, Christ died for the ungodly. Some people always ask the question, did Moses go to heaven? I think he did, because I think he repented of what he did. But he learned a great lesson in life. He learned that sin has consequences. You know, a person may have to pay for his sin here. We got a lot of people incarcerated in prison out here in Tennessee Colony for their evil and for their wrong. But can they go to heaven? Sure they can. If they repent of their sins and they obey the gospel of Christ and baptism and live the kind of life that is exemplary of our Savior. But that doesn't take away the penalty that we face here. You see, there are two penalties, one here and one there. We have to stand before God with our sin if we're not a Christian and if we haven't lived right before God. And we have to give an account there and we give an account here. That's why we have civil court, criminal court, and why we have spiritual court. I believe Moses went to heaven. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was transfigured in the book of Matthew chapter 17, appearing with our Lord Jesus on that mountain was Moses and Elijah, along with Peter, James, and John. But oh, the consequences of our sin here. Just because you become a Christian doesn't take away all the consequences that you face in this life. It did not take it away for Moses. And it will not take it away for you either. But yes, you can go to heaven. Can murderers go to heaven? They're truly forgiven if they truly repent. Well, they were the very ones that crucified Jesus, weren't they? And they became believers. They understood God had a plan for our redemption, that God forgives us when we're willing to believe in Him as the Son of God and accept Him as a sacrifice for our sin. Jesus taught in the book of Mark 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be condemned." He taught that that leads us to repent of our sin. If a person doesn't believe in God, he's not going to repent. But if he really believes, he'll repent of his sin. And Jesus taught that we are to do so. That's the reason on the day of Pentecost when they wanted to know what to do as believers. Then Peter would say, repent. We were to confess our faith in Christ. There are many that will not do it. And many will be lost. For Jesus taught, he that confesses me before men here, I'll confess before my Father who is in heaven. But if you deny me here, you rest assured there will be a denial of you in heaven. And then Christ said that a man must be baptized in order to be forgiven of his sin. God didn't tell Moses he had to be baptized. That wasn't a part of his law, his plan for Moses. But it's a part of his plan for you and for me. And I'm going to tell you, changing that plan in your mind or some preacher standing in a pulpit telling you that you can abandon New Testament baptism for the remission of sins is a liar. And you're just as guilty as Moses or anyone else who doesn't act upon the truth. Let me ask you this morning. Two last Sunday morning in Abilene responded to the call of Jesus to be baptized for the remission of their sins. A father and his son, I will never forget it. But they both acted upon the truth. Are you ready to follow Jesus and be baptized for the remission of your sins? Maybe this morning you're ready to rededicate your life to Christ. Maybe you know in your heart of hearts you haven't lived as a Christian. There have been things that have been standing in the way of you living that kind of life that will lead you to heaven. You know that you right now do not stand worthy of going into the promised land of heaven because there's a sin for which you've not repented. There are things that are wrong in your life. Doubt, unbelief, maybe sins that have been committed that you keep hoping God will forget about and no one else will find out about. Be sure your sin will find you out. Perhaps you need the prayers of the Lord's church this morning. I'm going to tell you something. It's a big question. It is a big question. But it must be answered. I hope you're ready to answer it this morning while we stand and while we sing.